الدهاء in insufficient knowledge for following regulative principles. Chidram discrepancy. Desha in the matter of country. Kala and time. Arha and recipient. Vastutaha and paraphernalia. Sarvam all these. Karoti makes. Nischidram without discrepancy. Anusankirtanam constantly chanting the holy name. Tavab of your lordship. So, translation. There may be discrepancies in pronouncing the mantras and observing the regulative principles. And, moreover, there may be discrepancies in regard to time, place, person, and paraphernalia. But when your lordship's holy name is chanted, everything becomes faultless. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Legal. In Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was recommended. You know this verse. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Kevalam, Halo Nascheva, 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 Gatiranyata. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. This is from the Brihad Naradiya Purana, 38th chapter, text 126. In this age of Kali, it is extremely difficult to perform Vedic ritualistic ceremonies or sacrifices perfectly. Hardly anyone can chant the Vedic mantras with perfect pronunciation or accumulate the paraphernalia for Vedic performances. Therefore, the sacrifice recommended in this age is Sankirtana. Constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Yajna Sankirtana Prayar Yajantihi Sumedha Saha. That's from the Srimad Bhagavatam 11th Canto, 5th Chapter, Text 29. Instead of wasting time performing Vedic sacrifices, those who are intelligent, those who possess good brain substance, should take to the chanting of the Lord's holy name and thus perform sacrifice perfectly. I have seen that many religious leaders are addicted to performing yajnas and spending hundreds and thousands of rupees for imperfect sacrificial performances. This is a lesson for those who unnecessarily execute such imperfect sacrifices. We should take the advice of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Yajnaya Sankirtana. Although Shukracharya was a strict Brahmin addicted to ritualistic activities, he also admitted Nischidram Anusankirtanam Dava. My Lord, constant chanting of the holy name of your lordship makes everything perfect. In Kali Yuga, the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies cannot be performed as perfectly as before. Therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami has recommended that although one should take care to follow all the principles in every kind of spiritual activity, especially in worship of the deity, there's still a chance of discrepancies, and one should compensate for this by chanting the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we therefore give special stress to the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra in all activities. Alright. So, mantratas tantratas chitram deshakalara vastutaho sarvam karoti nischidram anusankirtanam tava. So, Om Gana Tivanandasya Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshurun Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, which verse of the Shikshashtaka does this remind you of? Yeah, Nam Nam Kari Bahuda Nijasarva Shaktis, the Traputa Nivatasma, the Tajusi Tava Kupra, Bhagavanti, the Diamond, the Sham, the Janin Khan, and Paga. That, oh my Lord, you have invested all your transcendental potency in your holy names, and of course, Prabhupada translates it, a purport translates it, such as Krishna, Govinda, etc. And there's no hard and fast rules for chanting. But unfortunate as I am, I anuraga, I don't have any taste for these things. So the same point is made here, as far as not the taste part, but the other portion, is that there's no hard and fast rules for chanting Hare Krishna. And actually, I'm going to tell you there are some hard and fast rules. I'm going to contradict myself. So, first of all, the rules that are referred to, actually, if you look at the Sanskrit, Niyamena Tishtha means time, place, and manner rules. Like with the Vedic literatures or the Vedic sacrifices, and, you know, we're again talking about, you know, the Ajurveda, Dharmaveda, Samaveda, and Rigveda. So, they have to be done so precisely that if a mantra is chanted improperly, you can have the opposite effect. Instead of having, just like that story of Vritrasura, you know that story? No, I thought you were studying it. Anyway, the story of Vritrasura, that his father, Tvasta, created him, actually. He created someone to hurt Indra in a sacrifice. So he was pronouncing the mantra to get someone, to get a demon or something that would kill Indra. The reason he was unhappy with Indra is because Indra had killed Visvarupa, his son. Anyway, that's the whole story of the Bhagavatam. And so he was pronouncing the mantra, let me have someone who is an enemy of Indra. And so what he did is he mispronounced the mantra, just stressed the wrong syllable. And then he got someone who Indra was an enemy of. You understand the difference? Let me just explain it for those of you who are not listening too carefully. You can either have someone who is an enemy of Indra, or someone who Indra is the enemy of that person. You understand? In other words, Indra is the enemy of the person you just created. And of course, this story of Vritrasura is a very interesting story. Vritrasura was a devotee. And his business was to try to kill Indra. That was his devotional service. And he preached to Indra while he was fighting with him. He even swallowed Indra at the end. And Indra had to use his thunderbolt to get out of his body. But that's a story in the Bhagavatam. Very interesting story. Story of Vritrasura. You should read it. Anyway, so there's an example, like one mantra was mispronounced, and you got practically the opposite effect. And there's other examples of where someone wanted a son, and the priest pronounced the mantra, you know, distressed the Vasat mantra a little bit differently, and the guy got a daughter. So this is the Vedic mantras. It's a very precise thing. Therefore, when the Vedas were chanted, you know, I'm talking about the Rig Veda right now, you have to have the person who is chanting it, you have to have the person who is checking his chanting, and then you have to have a third person to do the corrections if the guy did it wrong. Wow. And then it had to be done exactly at the right time of the day. You know, they calculate everything astrologically for auspicious times of the day. I mean, sometimes even in our Krishna conscious movement, you have marriages. We attended a marriage in Mayapur. And normally in India, everything's late, right? Just like in Fiji, Indian Standard Time. So the priest was getting all worried because the bride didn't show up. That's normal. She always shows up late to get more attention. So she wasn't showing up. And he said, the marriage is almost over. We can't do the marriage unless they can exchange garlands by exactly 11:05 and 22 seconds. So he was getting really nervous. And I just said, Chan Hare Krishna, boo-boo. Cool it. You know, because he was really concerned with the Mahurtas. You know, the time of the day. It's time of the day. Another time, we had a GBC meeting. You know, GBC, that's Governing Body Commission. And the meeting was supposed to start at 10. And the astrologers have calculated that it wasn't a good time to start at 10. You should start at 10:10 and 22 seconds. So we all had to wait outside the meeting hall. You know, here we are sitting, okay. What time is it? I said, they had to go. 3, 2, 1. Okay, meeting. And still, it wasn't the nicest meeting we ever had. So, there's so many calculations like that that people do, isn't it? I mean, if you think about it. And so anyway, that's the Vedic sacrifices or Vedic procedures. It all has to be done, you know, exactly according to the time, place, circumstance. Mantras have to be chanted properly. The Brahmana has to be the proper Brahman. That's the Vedic system. This Vedic system, Pancharatrika system, and Bhagavad system. So we follow the Pancharatrika and Bhagavad Vidya. So it's not possible in Kali Yuga to do these things. Because first of all, Prabhupada said you don't have expert people to do it. Secondly, you don't have the paraphernalia. Paraphernalia basically means mountains of gold for sacrifice. Just like Arjuna is called Dhananjaya. Anyone's heard that word before? What does Dhananjaya mean? Collector of wealth. Victory, you know, Jaya means victory, meaning successful collector of wealth. And the reason he's called that is that when the Pandavas wanted to do a sacrifice, there's many stories in the Mahabharata, that when the Pandavas wanted to do a sacrifice, they needed a lot of money. Well, especially after the battle of Kurukshetra. They needed money because there was no money. Everybody had spent the money and all the resources were depleted because they had been fighting. You know, everybody was dead at that point. So Yudhisthira Maharaj wanted to do the Ashwamedha sacrifice. So that required a lot of money. So Arjuna, he went to this place where the king had performed the sacrifice. And he gave so much gold to the Brahmanas couldn't even carry it off. Which is like mountains and mountains of gold. So he just collected it all, brought it back, and did no sacrifice. So that's how much gold, paraphernalia, ghee, mountains of ghee. Nowadays, things are so contaminated. I've been to several different so-called sacrifices where people are using oil for the sacrifice. You know, soybean oil. Swaha, swaha, swaha. It's ridiculous. I mean, we shouldn't use soybean oil for sacrifice. Anyway, so niyamena tishtam. So, really, you can't do those things. Therefore, the chanting of Hare Krishna is there. However, as I mentioned before, there are hard and fast rules for chanting the holy name. But not hard and fast rules that deal with time, place, and circumstance. You can chant the holy name anywhere. You know, sometimes devotees ask me, when I go, I'm going to take a shower, go to the stool room, should I chant? And I say, yes. And they say, why? I said, no hard and fast rules. And I said, plus, you could die there. If you could die there and you don't chant Hare Krishna, you probably have a worm in stool or something. It's like. So, therefore, we chant everywhere. But just like sometimes, many times I'm traveling in a plane. And, you know, you can't take an Achman cup out, you know, in the middle of the plane, obviously. It'd be kind of silly. You know, sip, purify your hands, touch your feet. You gotta chant. Maybe you have to chant Gayatri. You know, normally chanting Gayatri, you're supposed to face the sun, and, you know, sit down very peacefully. You're supposed to chant Gayatri in a moving car or in a, what to speak of, a plane. And even when you're in a plane, you can't even figure out what time of day it is. Just like sometimes we have to observe a codicil and we can't even figure out where we are in the world to observe a codicil. You know, the plane, there's two codicils or no codicil. And then you have the codicil purana, you know, when you're supposed to break the fast. And you have to ask the pilot, what time zone are we in? And take out your computer and calculate it. It's just not possible. But there are hard and fast rules. And those rules, of course, are the 10 offenses of chanting. These are hard and fast rules. Because, let me explain the 10 offenses on chanting. Not all of them. I'm not giving an initiation today. But the 10 offenses on chanting are based on the fact that Krishna is a person. See, the reason we don't have time, place, and circumstance rules for chanting the holy names is because we're dealing directly with Krishna when we chant his holy name. He's a person. He understands. You know, Krishna understands, you know, you can't do things perfectly. It's not a ritual. Krishna's not a ritual. Niyamagra, you know, ritual. Krishna understands. Oh, you're not. And Krishna even understands if you're in a different country and you can't even pronounce the Hare Krishna mantra the right way, like if you're in China or something like that. Hare Krishna. They're not used to the R, right? They go, Hare Krishna. The Krishna consciousness movement. Or if you're in Mexico, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Is that they don't have the SH there. Krishna, Krishna. Oh, you know, whatever it is. So Krishna understands. That's amazing, because he's a person. So the 10 offenses, the reason they're offensive is because they're against, or they offend the person Krishna. Not because it's just some ritual that we just picked. You know, some offenses we just picked out of the air, some Vedic ritual. It's because they upset Krishna. Of course, the offense that upsets Krishna the most is the one of blaspheming or offending Krishna's devotees or those who have dedicated their lives to propagating Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna's devotee is most dear to him. Actually, Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, Sadhava Vridyam Mayam, Sarunam Vridyam Dwam, Medat Madanyate Na Janate, Naham Tebyo Manadapi. What does he say? He said that I am in the heart of my devotees. And he says, but in the same way, the devotees are in my heart. I mean, just like you have this, of course, you have this famous picture of Hanuman. He's opening up his chest, and there is Sita and Ram inside. So, if Krishna could open up his chest, because there's no picture of it, obviously. Because Radharani is there. Anyway, so Krishna has Radharani in his heart. That's another issue. But Radharani is the best devotee. So Krishna, if you could look at Krishna's chest, in his heart, you would see the devotees. That's what he says. He says, the devotees are in my, the sadhu. The sadhu is in my heart. In the same way that I am in the heart of the sadhu. That's a perfect expression of yayatamam prapajante tamsataiva vajamiyaham. Right? The sages are in my heart. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? If you think about it. What does it mean that someone is in someone's heart? It's not a physical thing. That means Krishna's thinking of them all the time, meditating on them. Like the yogis meditating on Krishna. So Krishna's meditating on his devotee. Or just like, let's take a common example. Let's say a mother is always meditating on her little baby. Even if the baby happens to be 68 years old, I mean. You know, in my mother's 90s, she calls me on the phone and says, "Oh, my baby." I said, "Not anymore." So he goes, isn't it? So the mother, it's like that. The mother's meditating, "My, oh," and Krishna's meditating, "Oh, my devotee." So Krishna's, he's like our mother, father. Of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says this, you know, master, preceptor, mother, father, you're everything to me. That's Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that. And so therefore, if you do something against someone who is most dear to Krishna, in fact, the devotee controls Krishna by his devotion, according to the nectar of devotion. It's the only means of attracting Krishna, the only means of controlling Krishna. Krishna becomes a servant of his devotee. Then, obviously, you're finished. Nagatikatoku. So it's a very important principle. So if you look at any of the offenses, right, any of the offenses, they're all based upon some personal, let's say, interaction with Krishna that makes Krishna upset with you. Like you think his name is the same as equal, or the names of the demigods are equal to independent of the holy name of Lord Vishnu. It's like, I mean, giving a mundane example, a wife thinking the name of any other man is the same as the name of her husband. You know, can you imagine that? Husband would be very upset. End of marriage. So that's the point I make. I'm not going to go through all the 10 offenses. It's all personal. We're dealing personally with Krishna. Every aspect of the Krishna conscious movement is not a ritual. If it becomes a ritual, then it's impersonal. If the rules and regulations are applied to such an extent that you forget that you're dealing with the person Krishna, then you got to think twice about that particular rule. We're not talking about the four regulative principles. That's something different. It's not that I'm saying you don't have to follow the four regulative principles, because Krishna also takes intoxication. It's true. In the spiritual world, Krishna, there's stories of Krishna and the gopis, and they're drinking honey wine, and they're getting so drunk that they pour the wine on the opposite side of the cup. You know, you have these wine glasses. You see them? How come you've seen wine glasses? You admit to me. That's good. Now I know your problems. So these wine glasses, like, you know, you pour that. One time a devotee did that with Prabhupada. Prabhupada had water. He was taking water in a wine glass, and the devotee poured it, and the opposite side got all over Prabhupada's desk. So Prabhupada was very upset. So Krishna and the gopis, they're getting drunk. That doesn't mean you can get drunk. This is why their eyes are rolling. Balaram got drunk, and he attacked the Yamuna River. You should not do it. Krishna was dancing with all these girls in the middle of the night. You should not do it. Anyway, so that's God. He can do all those things. But apart from the four regulated principles, which we have to follow, then we should always be doing things in such a way that we realize we're directly in contact with Krishna. Like when Prabhupada installed the deities in Los Angeles, he was crying. There's a tape. No, of course not a tape. MP3 now. There's a recording of Prabhupada crying. He said, "Just you're directly dealing with God, with Krishna, when you dress in the deities. Not some doll there that you just dress up. Like a little girl dressing dolls or something. You're directly dealing with Krishna." So if the rituals get to such an extent that we forget that we're directly dealing with Krishna, you got to reduce the number of rituals. Usually, I give the example sometimes of something that happened to me here in Suva. Some of you heard this story. We were installing the deities here. This is before most of you were born. Most of you, the girls. So anyway, so we were installing the deities here. What year was that? 2002. Okay. So we were installing the deities here, and I mean, some of the things the rituals, there were a lot of rituals, but some of the things were really sweet. Like, there's this thing called Sayan Nivas, which is the first time the deities sleep. So we actually, this was a very sweet personal thing. So, was anyone here during that time? No. I mean, you were here, but you didn't participate with me in the ceremony. So they actually took the deities off the altar and put them in beds. Nobody saw that. It was just like, it was me, Nishina Kovacha, and I think that was it. We were on the altar, so we picked the big deities up, put them in beds. Sayana Adibas. Sayana, that means the first sleep. And then I had my harmonium and I was chanting lullabies to them. You know lullabies? Go to sleep. No. I was chanting Krishna conscious songs to them. Not like, you know, rockabye baby on the treetop. You know, this song. You know, rockabye Krishna on the treetop. No, it wasn't. But that's very personal. I mean, I remember that. It was so personal, the interaction with Krishna. So I'm actually telling devotees something they didn't know before that I did here. It's really sweet. You know, it wasn't a ritual. It was just like, wow, I get the chance to Govinda while he's taking rest. And so we turned the lights out gradually and then we said, good night, Krishna. It was sweet. It wasn't a ritual. So that's the sort of interaction that's really sweet. So, alright, then later on we have the first RT to the deities. And that got a little ritualistic. Because when you're doing RT, you gotta count how many circles around, how many circles, which I could never figure out anyway. Even though I was one of the best people in mathematics before I joined the Hare Krishna movement. So it got too ritualistic for me. So I had to station Nishina Kovacha, who's our deity worship minister for ISKCON. He had to tell me how many circles. I said, I'm not into this. He said, you better do it. I said, you want me to do it, you gotta sit at my feet and tell me. Because I just want, when I'm offering things to Krishna, I just want to think, oh Krishna, please accept. Please make me your devotee. Ainanda Tanuja King Gram, and I've fallen in this material world. Please fix me up as one of the lowest. Instead of going one, and a two, and a three, and a four. You know, one, two, three, and four is good when I'm doing my exercises. You know, push-ups or, you know, whatever. So, anyway, the point I'm making, for me, it was too many details. Because when I'm serving Krishna, when I'm chanting Krishna's holy names, I want to think of him as a person. When I'm chanting, I want to be praying, talking to Krishna. It's not something you just do, you know, you just chant your rounds. You're talking to Krishna and Radharani. You understand? You're talking to Krishna and Radharani. Oh, Radharani, you know, please, engage me in Krishna's service. Let me serve Krishna and you. It's a conversation. It's like on a phone. Krishna. Hello, Krishna. How are you today? Please let me serve. That's the holy name. You're calling Krishna up on your mobile phone. On your mobile mantra, anyway. On your mobile japa bag. Anyways, whatever it is. You're calling Krishna up, so you should never forget that. We're not Vedic ritualists. We're dealing directly with our best friend, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarvalokamaheshram, Suridam Sarvabhutanam. Our best friend, Krishna. And our best friend's girlfriend. Right? Radharani. That's pretty cool, isn't it? You think about it. That's Krishna consciousness. Your best friend and his girlfriend. And his brother. Balaram. They're your best friends. Suridam Sarvabhutanam. That's what Krishna says in the Gita, the 5th chapter, text 29. Surit. Surit is not just an ordinary friend. Ordinary friend is like Mitra in Sanskrit. To learn Sanskrit now. Mitra means just like an ordinary friend. You know, someone who you play golf with, or cricket, or whatever game you play here. Saka, that's just an ordinary friend. But Surit, that means what? Good heart, basically. You know, some, your heart friend. Heart friend. Sometimes people nowadays, I had one disciple in the United States, she has a good friend, and so she decided to have matching tattoos put on each other. People do that, isn't it? They do that here in Fiji? No. In the West, tattoos are a big thing. So I said, you should put a lotus flower, you should put the tattoos on your forehead or something. No, that's not good. So anyway, that's it. Krishna's our well-wishing friend, and you know, he's our buddy. It's so nice. And you should be thinking like that when you're chanting. Hey Govinda, hey Gopal, Keshava Madhava, Dinadayal, right? Hey Govinda, hey Gopal, Keshava Madhava, Dinadayal. You know that song, of course. Dinadayal. You know, you're the friend, you're the well-wisher, you're compassionate to the fallen. Dinadayal, right? So it's so nice. So if you think personally like that, then you won't commit any of the offenses. Automatically, you won't commit the offenses. Because you'll listen to Krishna, you'll listen to your spiritual master, you won't use the holy names in the sinful activities, you'll be attentive. All these offenses are automatically taken care of. And so then you'll follow automatically the hard and fast rules for chanting the holy names. So any questions or comments? We have about 5 more minutes left. Questions, comments, arguments, problems? Yes. The fame you for chanting? Or just in general, criticizing you? The people that are trying to criticize you, try to understand that they don't know you and they don't see you. You're a soul in the body. Nobody knows me. Like if someone says, I'll give you an example. When I was young, I always wore glasses. I still do sometimes. People would call me Four Eyes. And I was upset because I thought I was the body. Yeah, it gets very upsetting, you know. Hey, Four Eyes! They do that sometimes here? You know. So, like, oh my God. You know, go home to my mother crying. So, because I thought I was the body. But you know you're not the body, you know you're not, you know, they can't see you. So they can't criticize me. What they're criticizing is themselves. If someone criticizes me, they're actually criticizing themselves. Because they don't see me. They're just showing their own bad qualities. Therefore, what I do, I realize who I am, spirit soul, and I realize how fortunate I am, I have Krishna, and then I realize how unfortunate they are. And I pray for them. But it takes some time to develop that compassion. I pray for them and say, oh my God, they are making their own suffering. Because if they criticize you, they're angry. Anger is not a pleasant emotion, is it? I'm so angry and happy. It's a contradiction, isn't it? Why are you so blissful? Because I'm angry. You can't, you know, it's just like, it doesn't mix like oil and water. Anger and happiness. Anger makes you sick too. You know, you can get cancer from anger. So therefore, I just understand, wow, this poor guy or poor girl, whatever. I feel sorry, you know, they're criticized, they don't see me, and they are suffering. And, you know, you don't want to go up to them and say, I feel so bad that you're suffering, because then they may do something that's not so pleasant. Then they start yelling. Anyway, you see people who are yelling. Let's say someone yells at you. They're suffering. And if you're compassionate towards them, you can change them. Not by what you say, but by your actions. And there's something. People are suffering. Anger makes you suffer. Lust makes you suffer. People think that less makes them happy. And they take pills to make themselves more lusty. Even, you know, in America, it's illegal for someone over the age of 65 to take these lust pills. But they somehow or other, they cheat and they get them. And all these old men, these 80-year-old men, are taking lust pills. And they're becoming miserable. Of course, they also get heart attacks from taking the pill. That's another question. Then they become dogs in the next life. You see the dogs on the street? They were the old men who took lust pills in their life. So anyway, so all these different emotions that are, let's say, lust, anger, greed, envy, they're all unpleasant. Just make it, they don't make you happy. So therefore you should be compassionate toward them. So, oh, why are you so unhappy? No, I'm sorry. So good question. So any other questions or comments? So Mookie, you always have questions. Yeah.
Since the book is people have children, the parents' happiness also goes in the teachers and children too.
Yes, that's right.
And since we are, that we are students of Krishna.
Yeah, we have the similar features as Krishna, right? But to a lesser degree. So we should also play with gopis. Is that your logic? Because we are children of Krishna, we should play with gopis? No. Our nature is to help Krishna play with his gopis rather than you having your own gopis. Because Krishna is great. You already have one gopi at home, Sumukh. Manjumukhi gopi. That's enough. Yeah, you have one gopi. Krishna can have unlimited gopis. That's all right. Yeah, you have the same nature. You can have your gopi. You can tell your wife what I said. It's a gopi. So, and you have your little independence. You can choose certain things, but it's limited. Krishna has unlimited independence. Yes, so that's all right. Have your gopi and be happy. All you ladies can have your Krishna husband. But your real husband is Krishna. Krishna is the Purusha and the rest of us are Prakriti. You understand? The rest of us are female in nature and Krishna is the supreme male. That's nice, isn't it? That's the way to think. We're Prakriti. We're not the enjoyer. You're trying to imitate Krishna. You know, that one time there was one lady who said, Krishna can have so many wives. Why can't I have more husbands? And I said, you are not Draupadi. Yeah, that's called polyandry, where a lady has many husbands. Polygamy is where a man has many wives. Prabhupada said, as far as many wives, he said, our business is to reduce this attachment. And to the man who wanted many wives, he said, your business is to increase the attachment. So you can't come to our town. So nice. One life, one wife, one life, one husband. That's it. Finished. Eka husband, brata. Eka putney, brata. All right. Any other questions? Yeah.
You see, understand what you
do. Very easy. What happens when you see the temple? You understand that Krishna's in the temple, right? Like even Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami never entered into the Jagannath temple. Do you know that? Well, you didn't know that. Of course, Haridas Thakur, because he was born in Muslim family, but Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, because it was considered that they had lost their caste. They had worked for the Nawab Hussain Shah, the Muslim person in charge of Bengal. So in those days, the Hindu rituals were so strict that if you worked for someone who was a non-Hindu, you would lose your kid. You wouldn't be allowed in the temple. Because many of you have jobs with people who are non-Hindus, right? Probably all of you work. Some of you may work for Hindus, but most of you, I think, you work for the government. According to strict rules and regulations, you shouldn't come in the temple anymore. So Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami never went into the Jagannath temple. And so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised them that you simply look at the flag. You understand the chakra and everything. And you offer obeisances. And when you look at it, when I look at the dome, the chakra, the kalash on top, I automatically understand Krishna's there. So when I look at someone's body, I automatically see Krishna. It's a temple. It's a temple. I see Krishna in your heart. Actually, I see your wife in your heart. Not Krishna. Anyway, so I'm just joking. Just joking. So you can tell your wife is there. So when I look at someone, I see Krishna. I don't see, some male or female or whatever. I see there's a temple there. That's why we put on the tilak, right? Because we mark the body as a temple of Krishna. So I just see Krishna. And therefore, Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Lord Chaitanya actually, said when someone came without tilak, he said, your forehead looks like a crematorium. Of course, it's still a temple of God, but the tilak is very important because it marks our body. People look at us. It's a temple. It's a decoration of the temple. It's like a temple without a chakra on the top. Or don't, or kalash. So anyway, so that's how you should see. It's a temple, and naturally the deep is inside. Make sense? Okay, on that happy note, I think it's time for us to actually see Krishna with these eyes. Thank you very much, and thank you everybody for joining us. Krishna Puja. Wow, from the United States. Sachi Mata, Prema, Alejandrina, Sudharma, Krishna Chaitanya from here, from Manohari Nirada, Formula, that's Radhakumana, Agari, wow, got a lot of people watching, Praneshra, from India, Malini, Rasheshri, Vibhati Nandan, Jai. Sri Sri Gornatai Ki Jai.
Kananta Maravinda Delight Daksham Avatam Sitam Buddha Sundaram Gaum Kanna Pakotikamaniya vishesha svabhavam. Govinda.
Jai. Radha Gopi Hari ki jai.